Good morning. It's a nice May day, isn't it? We do know, though, that the March winds will blow. So don't get too used to it, right? I was about 12 years of age when God gave me salvation. As a result of Ministry of Music. I always appreciate music, and the psalm book out of the book of Psalms, of course, is all about music, and we rejoice in that. When God redeemed me, I had to learn how to talk all over again, as my language was, as sometimes we saw say, atrocious. And my English is still not very good, but the words that I would use, and so when God saved me, my language was cut in half or more than that, and so I didn't have much to say many days because I didn't know how to talk without every other word being a swear word, curse word, or something else brought into that. So, you know, when God saves us, he saves everything about us, you know, get us saved lips, saved thoughts, save action and reaction. They are not only the outwards, but the inwards gets redeemed. So when he redeems us, when we speak of he saved my soul, we know he also redeemed our bodies to be used for his name's sake. And it's with our bodies that we're out and about to set forth in this age the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and to declare him. Some time back, my wife and I were able to, by way of a gift, make a trip to Israel. And on that trip, one of the items was to go out on the Sea of Galilee. It was a reasonable size boat, and a lot of reminders of many of the ministries on and around the Sea of Galilee from the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those times he asked that great question that often ought to ring back in our ears. And his question was, where is your faith? Remember that question from Christ? Where is your faith? You know, I can't see it. There ought to be a demonstration of it. There ought to be a living proof set forth of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when you open your Bibles back to Hebrews in chapter 11, and we deal with these great things of faith, we're reminded that the end of chapter 10 of Hebrews is an introduction to chapter 11. So it's always good to think on that, and perhaps we'll get back to look at it a little bit, and we might at this time. But I'm just reminded that we are to be those that are always living our faith, presenting our faith. Our language ought to be as such that it declares our faith. And we ought to indeed not just be different in outward ways, but different within because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd all admit we don't do a very good job at it. We got lots of stuff that we kind of dragged along and we haven't quite chopped off yet, though that's what we need to do of the things of the past. And so they affect us and infect us and come as a result with regard to our lives day by day. But that's a great question. Where is your faith? What have we done this past week to illustrate, demonstrate, declare, put forth our faith? What will we do this week before us with regard to that which we claim we have? And probably in church here, we're singing loudly and boldly and so on, demonstrating our faith. And then we step outside the doors. And where is your faith? Well, God uses Moses to help us to have our faith strengthened and built up in the day-by-day world. And so even when we come together, it sets forth a greater message with what is before us.
Now, there's been lots of definitions of faith that have been written and presented, and many very fine. Of course, we do know better than with regard to the scriptural definition of faith in Hebrews 11, where the writer says, now, faith is the substance. It means the confidence. Faith is a confidence of things hoped for. The word hoped for can be convictions. Have a conviction about things, about matters of God, eternity, and future. The evidence of things not seen. For by faith, or for by it, the elders obtained a good report or testimony. By faith we understand, a very unusual statement in Hebrews 11 and verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed, put together, they are as they are, by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Many of those in the science world try to keep on convincing us that the worlds were made by things that are seen. When they came about by the very mouth, the power, the word of God. A couple of quick little things as we move into the latter part, the middle of the chapter. From Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 3. You and I, whom God has redeemed from our sin by his Son's blood, have an undivided confidence in God by faith, which is a gift from him. Faith, we're taught here in these first three verses, is adhering to God's promises. God has said it, that settles it. It is depending on the word of God. There it's written, there I read, there I take my stand. And it's a remaining faithful to God. The tougher end of it. Remaining through, as we say, it all, or the thick and the thin, faithful to God. So God takes, and in his great graciousness to his people, instructs us and teaches us by way of Moses, who lived and died in faith, that we might know how to live and die by faith. So I put this for my help, and perhaps it'll help some, that faith is an activity. Faith is an activity of walking with God. While others around us might be giving in and drifting by the ways of the world, we walk with God by faith. Sometime back when God had us living in the state of Maine, not far from where we lived, was a man named McKellen who wrote a book of his adventure of drifting. That is, he drifted in the South Atlantic for 76 days and nights on a rubber raft. We have a rubber bed or blow-up bed at our house. I don't even trust sleeping on that for one night. And here for 76 days he floated, repaired the raft as he floated. But he was just, he was just under the control of the waves and the wind and just drifted. Had no, wherever it took him, there he went, of course. He was drifting. He wasn't in charge. He was just going by the influence of another. And often that is the way it is by many who claim to be living by faith. They're just drifting along. While faith is an activity of walking with God. While others around us might be giving in and drifting in the ways of whatever the influence at the time is with regard to the world. Well, here in chapter 11 and down into some of the verses that Jay read, or we read together, at verse 23, God takes Moses and he uses him, Hebrews 11 and verse 23, and he gives us a, okay, just don't panic when you hear this.
But he gives us eight verbs. Does that mean we got an eight-point outline? Yeah. But they're short, right?
You've heard that before. I know. But anyway, we have these eight verbs of faith, I call them. Eight verbs of faith. And so I want to take this portion and read it again for us. And I want to just mention these eight verbs that we'd like to speak on or think on this morning hour. So Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Now that takes a lot of faith. Have you ever tried to hide a baby for 3 months? Or have a child be quiet for a few minutes? Because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused. There's the first word we want to consider. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, that's our second word. Rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming, verse 26, our third word. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he respected or he looked, he had a desire for the reward. By faith he forsook, note that word, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. That's our word number six. Seeing him who is invisible, by faith he kept, word number seven, the Passover, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through, word number eight, the Red Sea, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Well, you got, we have these eight verbs. We got, and I put some ings on them for our grasping of our outline here. We have him refusing, verse 24, choosing in verse 25, esteeming, verse 26, and also in verse 26, looking, or he had respect, respecting. He was looking for the reward. So many times people say, oh, I'm not serving God to get a reward. Then you're not serving God properly, because God wants to reward faithfulness, and he will. We have verse 27, the word forsook or forsaking. My English is bad, but I knew enough not to call it forsooking. Forsaking. And then number 6 in verse 27, he endured or enduring. And number 7 in verse 28, we have kept or keeping. And then in verse 29, he passed through, passing through, passing through. Let me put it together in a little package here, and then I'll repeat it at the end of our time together this morning. Now, by faith, attending to the work God has given you, he's given you the work of this local church and this ministry. God the Holy Spirit saw the need of a local church as this in this area. God the Holy Spirit breathed life into it, gave it life by bringing saved folks together to be established into a local ministry and a local church to continue with the teaching and preaching of his word, because he had souls to reach in this area, and you are evidence with regard to that, the coming together of it. And in doing that, by our attending faithfully in the services, looking through the bulletin, you see the services of the church, and by attending our services, you give a testimony every time you drive in the parking lot and come here. By attending the services, by meeting, you are refusing to identify with the world, and you are choosing God's way of doing business, and you are esteeming Christ's ways of more value than the world's ways, and you are having a respect to eternal awards that God has set aside for you. And you're seeing them as more valuable than the temporary awards that might be given. So together, there's a forsaking, a leaving behind of the elements of this world and a getting together. It takes endurance to do that. A never, never quit attitude and action. Because of the faith which you have in Him, you've endured by the keeping of His word. And by His mercy and grace, you too shall pass through, leaving the enemy of faith behind, that is Satan and eternal death. Faith is an activity. A verb speaks of action. We got 8 verbs here. So faith is an activity of walking with God. While others around us might be just drifting along, giving little credence to the Lord Jesus Christ of eternity. So we got 8 of them. Let's see, if we spent 5 minutes on each one, did you do the math? Supper or dinner will be late, right? So we're not going to do that. I know better than to go over, though some people might question that. We'll look at these 8. Remember, faith is an activity of walking with God, while others around might be giving in and just sort of drifting along just enough to get by. You want to do more than that because you belong to the one who bought you by His shed blood. So verse 24, as you know, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused. You ever had a day in your life when you just plain refused to be called of any type of association with the world? I started a little bit of my testimony of God saving me. And in verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age. We'd understand from our little reading of the scriptures and studies of the lives of individuals in one of Moses, where God spends a lot of time with regard to him, that might have been at the age of 40. Whatever time it is, there must be a time when you, as a professed believer in Christ, have refused. You just will not live any longer in the way you did at one time. When I came to know Christ as Savior by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it certainly wasn't my decision. It was the furthest thing from my mind. Never thought of it. Though I was in church quite often as a kid, just so I probably didn't have to work on the farm quite as much at that time. I'm sure that was in my mind. But anyway, God, on that day when He redeemed me, It was by his mercy and grace, had nothing to do with any intelligence here, had nothing to do, I was just certainly dead in sin, and he brought me to life, and me redemption by way of the shed blood of Christ, which is that which gives life and brings life. But there was a particular time when there was a cutoff, a refusing. And it comes at a cost. I may speak on it a little bit here down the line, but there comes a time there must be a refusing. We see that in Moses' life. There came a time when he just said, that's it. He drew the line. Refuse. You have a time, you look back in your life, I just refused to drift along and serve this world and its ways, actions and attitudes. In verse 25, there was a choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. A choosing. In our home, hanging on the wall by the door is a little plaque, I guess you'd call it, someone gave to us when we were married 47 years ago. And as for me and my house, you know the rest of it? We will serve the Lord. Yeah. Choose this day whom you will serve. There's a choosing. There needs to be a choice made. The life of a believer, a Christian, is not easy in this world. We do not tell people all your problems are over when you trust Christ. In some ways, they're just beginning. But as we sometimes say, you cannot beat the retirement plan. Choosing, a choice must be made. Here in chapter 10, remember I said, and I'm not going to get to look at all of it, but I said there's a, chapter 10 actually gives an introduction into this chapter on faith. And if you look at 10:32, it fits so well here, 10:32 of Hebrews, he says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, after you were saved, my eyes, you are open, you were redeemed, you come to see God who God is and you who you are. You know, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Choosing. And remember, faith is an activity of walking with God. Actually, it's a walking against the grain or the flow of the world. While others are just drifting along, you're choosing to do what's godly. Number three in verse 26 is the word esteeming. It means to be regarding, considering carefully. It means not to get involved in an unthought through process. Think through things. I put down here in my little notes, think biblically. is steaming.
About 3 days ago, we received word that a man who had done a great amount of work and time put into my life when I was a child, and my family did not go to church, right? Most of my family hated the things of God and church and despised it. But God used this man, whose funeral is today, by the way, to show me, instruct me, by the way he lived, the things he said, the way he said them, being used by God to bring me to Christ. And he often would bring out, let me mention this to any Sunday school teachers that are here, or you have been, or you are, or you will be one day. In his Sunday school class, there were usually two boys. I was one of them. And I never heard him say, well, there aren't many here today. He never said, I don't have to teach at all. There's, you know, what's this? Two boys. He never said, well, I'm going to cancel the class and we'll all meet someplace else. There's only one of you, because often I was the only one in the class. But rather he would say, and my name was Lewis, there is, he always called me Louie. I don't know where he got that from. But now, Louie, let's sit down here, and we just sit down face to face and open the scriptures, and he would show me. And I knew nothing about the Bible. And very patiently just taught me where to find things and how to find it. In fact, he was so gracious. A man, he was Maltzen's his name, German, very German, and fought in World War II for the United States, but he was greatly hated in the area for a long time. You're a German. But he stood true to Christ, have a good testimony, did not just drift along, but walked by faith, believing the things of the Word of God, and instilled it in my life, I'm sure others, but in mine. Because he wanted to teach someone how to regard things very closely and carefully. He was a carpenter by trade, but if there's a title above carpenter, he's up there. He directed over the campaign of building the church, which I was building, which I was brought up in. And back in that time, they put the ceiling, the little 1 foot square ceiling tiles in the ceiling. And they got it all done. And they were a quarter of an inch off. And he said, that's not good enough. They took it back down. And they put it so he said it's right. Because he had that attitude and mentality with regard to that which has to do with a place and dedicated to worship God, that things would be done correctly. It was his thought process. He could think no other way. So with us, we need to be those that are esteeming the reproach, and there will be reproaches because of your stand for Christ, of them being greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. If you ever studied about Egypt and the time in Moses' life and treasure, it's not quite even the right word to bring it out. For he looked. There's our next word, right, in verse 26. Or he had respect, for he respected. It means he looked for the reward. He lived the life in the way he lived it because he was going to give an account to God. The reward of God, the unseen one, more valuable
than the seen rewards given by way of the hand of man. The loss of all things for the sake of the name of Christ. Verse 27 is a word for saking. Our text reads in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. You know what that means?
He got out of Dodge. Oh, that's for us who cowboy backgrounds from way back, right?
Got out of town. He left Sodom and Gomorrah, as it were. He left. Time to get out. He forsook. Often fear keeps us from being active in our faith. And often that is because we have not feared God properly. Yesterday, my wife and I, we live in Lititz, and we drove down to the town. We should have walked down. Traffic was bumper to bumper. They're having what they call their fire and ice time. We have this chili making contest, that's the fire, and then they have all this ice sculptures around town tying in with different businesses in town. So a fire and ice, and I say we should have walked about 2 miles down to the town, but it took us quite a long time, this traffic bumper to bumper. A little town gets 45,000 people into it that it aren't usually there. Makes things slow. But it was a beautiful day. People are out in their shorts walking around and seeing the ice sculptures, which were dripping pretty profusely yesterday. I'm sure they aren't going to hold up through today. But I just noted the one man in the crowds, and it is the word crowd, you know, and I just noted one man's shirt. It said, faith overcomes fear. Faith overcomes fear. And so it is. You perhaps have heard the old story, you know. Fear knocked at the door, and faith answered. And who was there? Nobody. So it is, let me consider this here. That of a need to be forsaking, not fearing, faking, forsaking that which has been put there, he forsook, forsaking. Number 6 is the word endured. It's in verse 27 as well. Remember, faith is an activity of walking with God while others might just be giving in and just sort of drifting along. They stopped enduring. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What keeps you going? It really is a godless world and society. God, by his mercy and grace, calls out by his wonderfulness of eternal election people unto himself to stand up for him and speak up for him. And it is not an easy road. But our eyes are not upon the present, or we would all quit. It's enduring as we look to the invisible God and what he has promised. And he does not lie, and will give to those redeemed by the blood of his Son. Enduring. I think it's one of the great words in faith in Christ, to endure. I encourage you to endure. Press on for him. It says back in chapter 10 in verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. 10:36. Endurance. How are you doing in enduring?
My wife endures me. Once in a while I'll say, I'm going to cook something. And I don't know if she gets in her back of her mind something else she ought to begin to plan to get ready, because whatever I've cooked is probably not going to make it as edible.
Enduring. How are you doing at enduring, not quitting?
There's a lot of quitters. A lot who don't press on. Things get tough, difficult, challenging.
Some stories my wife and I could tell you. The need of endurance. In regard to Moses, he did not quit. He kept an active faith. And when you study the life of Moses, you say, wow, Lord, give me the strength to endure like Moses. Our seventh verb here is in verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover. He did that which God told him to do that had never been heard of or done before. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. He kept it. He was unashamed. You know, we're a people of the group called the unashamed. We're unashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're unashamed to say Christ died for me. We're of that classification, if you please. We're of the unashamed. We keep on believing what God has said, as said in the Scriptures. God means what he says. And what's the other side? God says what he means. God doesn't need someone to tell us what he meant. God is not a politician who needs a half a dozen news agencies to say, well, this is what he said. We're thankful that what God has said is what he means. And we need to keep on with regard to what he's put before us. And it concludes in this way, and so we will, in verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Passed through. None of us know when God is going to call us to finish our day here and to pass on into his glorious presence. Right now, he's calling upon us to pass through in standing up in faith when there are great challenges and difficulties before us, not trying to find a way around it, but knowing God will give one through the middle of it as we trust him and declare him. Our time might be short, few days, and that's really all we have in totality is but a few days. Just a few to tell of the things of God. Just a few to stand up and speak the things of God. Just a few. Back in Hebrews 10, again in verse 37, he says, for yet a little while, as he quotes from Habakkuk, or if I said it correctly, Habakkuk, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Now as they look for, wait for, and expect his coming. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Passing through.
On the day I was born, which will be 71 years tomorrow, is that right? Get my right birthday. And I was brought home from the hospital, I'm told. I don't remember it well. My folks lived on the top of a fairly good hill, and there weren't the greatest of roads, and there was one of these things called, you've heard of it maybe before, a snowstorm. A real snowstorm. And as they brought me home in the old car, literally, if I'd had it today and could sell it, I could retire. But anyway, came home with the old car, and they could not make the hill after several tries. Those were the days, you know, and some remember, if you couldn't drive up it, you'd turn around and back up it, right? Somehow you'd get the traction better. People figured that out after a while and put the, rather than having the power on the back, having it in the front of the car. Well, anyway, didn't make it. And so my mother was left in the car with me. Dad got out and trudged up the hill. And harnessed up the horses and back down the hill. And at that time, some remember you could crank out the front windshield, you know, run the crank, the windshield would pop out. And he came down, hooked the horses up, put the harnesses back through that windshield, cranked out, and up the hill we went. So I got home, so I'm told, on, close to my birthday. He kept at it, though, you know. But the day of passing through is before each one of us. Thus, by the grace and mercy of the Lord, he come before we pass on in that way and take us home. Remember our definition, faith is an activity of walking with God while others all around us might be giving in and just drifting along with the ways of the world. When we meet together here, you are saying loudly, you will not have your lives run, nor the church run, nor your families run by the world's way of living. But you are saying that by faith you'll be attending the services, doing that which God has put before us as a local church to be done, as a family and a unit. And you'll be refusing to identify with the world. And you'll be choosing God's way of doing business, running life. And you'll be esteeming Christ's ways of more value than the ways of the world. You'll be having respect. The way we live shows our respect with regard to eternal rewards of God as more valuable than the temporary rewards of man. So we are
forsaking, leaving behind every day in some way every element of the world. And we will endure. Never, never quit. Because by faith, we now see him who endured for us the despising and the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. As he kept his word, and we too shall pass through, being welcomed into his glorious presence. Let me read in closing 10:19 through 25 of Hebrews. I trust it ties it together. It helps us this very day. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Notice who he's talking to, which, by the way, the bigger percentage of the Bible is for believers. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Now notice, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed by the pure water. That's salvation. Not talking about baptism, I don't believe. Talking about the washing by the water of the word. And verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Remember, faith is an activity of walking with God, while others just drifting along. We'll pray, our Father, apply your word as you see fit to our lives, moment by moment, day by day. Give us good endurance, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
We'll open to number 311. Number 311, so send I you.